You're listening to How to Win with Mike Moore, the podcast that provides you with practical insights on how to win in every arena of life.
God wants His people to prosper, and I believe that He's anointed me to help you to prosper, to go from one level to another level all year, and we're going to break poverty and lack and scarcity, unfulfilled desire over your life. It's going to take you to another level of abundance in God. Come on, take this journey with me. How to Win Our Prosperity Edition 2024.
Are you ready to break free from the chains of anxiety, stress, and depression? Mike Moore, author and founding pastor of Faith Chapel and host of the How to Win podcast, is here with his new book, Help, My Mind is Under Attack. Learn how to overcome attacks on your mind and live an emotionally healthy life. Grab your copy now, available as ebook on Amazon and paperback on MikeMoore.com. Embark on your journey to complete mental health and emotional peace.
Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and welcome to the How to Win podcast. These podcasts are based off 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph." I'm so glad to have you with us today. We're going to conclude an amazing series entitled Lacking Nothing. Lacking Nothing. Our series theme is living life as God intended. God wants us to live the way He intends for us to live. This is the fourth episode, the fourth lesson of a four-episode series. We have come to the end. I know you hate that. But listen, we've given you enough information, I believe, to make a difference in your life. Well, we're in that fourth lesson. Wow, it's going to be good. What is our subtopic for this lesson? Our subtopic is, what is Satan up to? What is Satan up to? Our background text, and remember, these podcasts are based off biblical principles, principles that come from the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the answer to any problem that any person has to deal with in life. The Word of God is the answer. We're giving you a Bible-based approach to financial and material prosperity. We know that there are other things to prosper, and we understand negotiation is important. We understand investing is important. We understand budgeting and saving and all these things are very important. I understand that. But we're right now just giving you a Bible-based foundation for material and financial prosperity. Maybe down the road, God instruct me to talk on that natural side. Okay, our background text for today is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I want to read it to you from the Authorized King James Version. It says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his, Satan's, devices. I want to introduce this lesson, this episode, with three questions. Number one, why are many believers in the body of Christ experiencing so much financial pressure? It is my experience, having pastored for 42 years and 8 months, that many Christians struggle in the area of financial and material prosperity. And not just in my church, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. Many of you, you love Jesus, you've given your life to Jesus, but on that financial material side, there's struggle and toil on that area. Not much manifestation on the area. So why is that? Why is that? Second question, what is Satan ultimately trying to accomplish through his strategy of keeping believers in line? Now, I'm going to have to say that slower because there's some depth to what I'm saying here. Why is Satan ultimately trying to accomplish through his strategy of keeping believers in lack? So I'm saying that keeping believers in lack is a strategy of Satan. I'm saying that it's not just natural, it's not just circumstantial, it's not just history, environment, background. I am saying that a part of Satan's strategy, intentional strategy, is to keep believers in lack. And I'm asking the question, why? What is he trying to accomplish? And then the third question, why is teaching on financial prosperity for the believer so controversial? I mean, think about it. Most everybody in the world are trying to prosper. I mean, just everybody. I mean, just most people in the world are trying to prosper. Advance, be better off in life. Everybody, just a natural thing. Everybody. People work so that they can advance or prosper financially. Nobody talks against working. And people go through a lot of sacrifice and commitment to educate their minds. They get this degree and that training and that apprenticeship, all to advance and to prosper. So why is there so much controversy around believers prospering? You think about it. You got actors prospering, living large. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You got entertainers prospering, living large. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You got rappers and athletes that are prospering and living large. I don't have any problem with that. I don't see anything wrong with that. So why is it that ministers can't prosper, believers can't prosper, Christians can't prosper? Why is it there's so much controversy when everybody else is trying to better themselves and trying to prosper? Why is there so much controversy? Our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 communicates that when we are ignorant of Satan's plans, then he gained an advantage of us. The converse would be true. When we are knowledgeable of Satan's plan, he loses any advantage of us. So what is Satan up to? I want to share in this last episode a threefold strategy that Satan has in this area of lack, in this area of the pressure that he's applying to Christians about prosperity. That pressure is strategic. It is not just natural. There are some spiritual forces trying to keep you broke, you lack, you not having anything. There are some spiritual forces. So let's look at Satan's threefold strategy. Number one, Satan's plan. Oh, this is just so wonderful. Satan's plan is to pervert the kingdom of God mandate in Genesis. His strategy is to pervert the kingdom of God dominion mandate in Genesis, pardon me. His strategy is to pervert the kingdom of God dominion mandate in Genesis 1:28. Here's what it says, and I read it out of the authorized traditional King James Version. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. So we have the kingdom of God dominion mandate here. And let's look at three elements of it. There's three elements of it. God instructs man, Adam, to be fruitful. To be fruitful. That literally means take a seed and produce something good. That's what he was saying. Take a seed, produce some good. Take a seed, produce some good. Take a seed, produce some good. Be fruitful. Take a seed. The seed could be money. Do some good. The seed could be time. Do some good. It could be a talent. It could be an idea. It could be a doctrine. It could be children. It can be a product. It can be a system. It could be a tool. It could be a service. But take something. Take something. Take the seed of something and produce good. Be fruitful. Second thing that he says in his kingdom mandate is take what you produced. Take this good that you produce from the seed, multiply it. Multiply means to excel, to expand, to increase the seed idea, the product idea, the service idea, increase it in number. Take that product, that service, that idea, that tool, that system, that thing that you have produced good from a seed, take it now and multiply it, increase it in number. Increase it in number, increase it in number, increase it in number. And then he said, replenish the earth with it. Replenish simply means fill the earth with it. God intended for Adam to start in the garden, take a seed, produce some good, multiply it, and then fill the earth with good. Just fill the whole earth with good. Just fill the earth with good. Fill the earth with good. Now, I am saying that Satan wants to pervert this kingdom mandate. But before we get to that, let's look at how it's done in the business world. On the way to work today, I stopped by Starbucks and I bought this vanilla latte, a tall vanilla latte. It was good too, good. Starbucks started off with one store was a seed idea that was connected to coffee. It was just a seed idea, and it was one store. It was just one store was the seed. In 1971, now that seed idea connected to coffee is a global product. It's global. Started in one location in 1971, and now Starbucks is a global product. Stores all over the earth, and now Starbucks revenue in 2023 reached $29.46 billion. That's just in America, just U.S. dollars, and Starbucks is all over the planet. Well, that's a business taking this kingdom of God dominion mandate, being fruitful, taking a seed idea related to coffee, and produce something that people would want, then multiply it, excel it. Produce it in such a way where it can be multiplied, and then replenish the earth, just fill the earth. Starbucks here, Starbucks there, Starbucks there. Just feel the earth, feel the earth, feel the earth, and notice the money connected to that. $29.46 billion. And all they did was this kingdom mandate used in a business context. The NFL started in Canton, Ohio in 1920. It was then, in the beginning, the American Professional Football Association. Today, the NFL has an aggregate value of $163 billion. We have a business, a sports business, that had a seed idea that began in one location, didn't have this kind of revenue, and yet now it has an aggregate value of $163 billion. That's the kingdom of God mandate in a business context. Think about it. That's what God intended for man to do. Take a seed, be fruitful. Take that seed and create something good, whether it's an idea, a product, or a service, and then multiply it, then fold the earth. So Satan's sitting there looking at this. He's listening to what God said to Adam. And he says, you know, I can do that, but I can pervert it. I can pervert this kingdom of God, dominion mandate. I can pervert it for my advantage. The word pervert simply means to divert or divert from the true intent. It means to alter from the original purpose. It means to use it in a contrary way or opposite for intent. So Satan says, okay, if man is supposed to be fruitful, take a seed, create some good, multiply it, increase it in number, fill the earth with it, then what I'll do, I'll take a seed idea, a product, a service, and produce something evil. And then I'll multiply something evil, and then I'll fill the earth with evil. That's a perversion of the kingdom of God mandate. We're talking about what is Satan up to. So now, we look at examples of Satan's plan to fill the earth with evil, pain, bondage, and destruction. So let me give you some examples. Revenue from global pornography. The global pornography industry is estimated at $100 billion per year. Human trafficking, that's kidnapping people, children, teenagers, and adults, and forcing them into forced labor, sexual exploitation. Human trafficking is a $150.2 billion industry. The global sale of illicit drugs are estimated, sales are estimated to be between $450 billion and $750 billion annually. The global market for the gambling industry is estimated in 2022 at $711 billion. Counterfeit and pirated goods are industries estimated at $1.7 trillion and 4 trillion. In other words, the counterfeit pirated goods is estimated at 7.1, somewhere in between 7.1 billion and 1.7 trillion. Please get that correct. 1.7 trillion to 4.5 trillion. You said, well, what is counterfeit and pirated goods? It's them fake goods that you be buying on the streets. Fake jewelry that you know the purses you be buying that look like so-and-so and look like so-and-so in the jewelry you be buying, and that unauthorized reproduction of movies, books, music. That's a trillion, multiple trillion dollar industry. Satan uses money to multiply the kingdom of darkness and fill the earth with evil, while Christians are talking about this person having a car and that person right there. And they're talking about thousands, hundreds of dollars, and Christians fighting over, and Satan is over in the billion dollar realm and the trillion dollar realm. And he's taking money and filling the earth with evil while Christians fussing and arguing about, well, I don't believe in prosperity. That's prosperity doctrine. And Satan is saying, okay, thank you for not believing in it. Thank you so very much, preachers, for preaching against it. Thank you so very much, because I'll take it. I'll take the money, and I'll pervert the kingdom of God, dominion mandate, and I will create evil multiplied and just fill the earth with it. And if you think of Satan's operation as a business, let's think of Satan. Now, let's put it in economic terms. Let's say his operation, what he's doing in the earth, is a business. And his business has a lot of cost to it. Because think about it. We're talking about pornography has a cost to it. We're talking about illicit drugs. We're talking about gambling. We're talking about counterfeit part and pirated goods. We're talking about drugs and alcohol and all those different things. It costs Satan's money. Now watch this. It's costing him money, but he's making money. So if you think of Satan's operation as a business, he has a lot of costs to launch, support, and sustain his business. He has human resource costs because he's paying drug dealers. He's paying people to kidnap people. He's paying these people. So he has human resource costs. He has transportation costs, because when they get into human trafficking, you got to transport these people. He has technology costs. He's got people using technology on how to capture, how to dispense drugs, how to do this, how to get into this sex trade. He's using technology. That's a cost. He has equipment costs, facilities costs. Because think about it. When he kidnap people, human trafficking, he's got to house those people somewhere in order to get them to somewhere else. So he got facility costs, harboring people, shelter costs, hiding people. And then he has a cost of paying off authorities, because Satan pays off public authorities, private authorities, government authorities, political authorities, local authorities, foreign authorities, prison authorities. He has recruitment costs, sales costs, production costs. Listen, Satan pays off officials. See, all this drug trafficking and all these people being kidnapped and put in sex trafficking and stuff, all these industries, pornography industries. Listen, he has costs, and he need public officials to look the other way. Police look the other way. He need government officials to deal with the lobbyists and all these different people. So he's got to pay off officials, foreign people, export people. He got all these people who are supposed to be operating illegal, but he's giving them money. He's giving them money. Why? To make money. He's giving money, making money. It costs money, but he's receiving money through the prostitution industry and all that. So he's got pimps and he got all those people. And then he play off the public officials to keep the pimps on the streets, give the pimps some money, give the public officials some money, give judges money. So the judge will put, now I know everybody's not doing this, but listen, let's not be naive. There are public and private officials that are in illicit stuff, illegal stuff. So it costs Satan's money. So the first thing he wanted to do, we're looking at three strategists. I got to take this kingdom of God mandate that God gave man and gave Adam, and I have to pervert it for my cause. My advantage. The second thing that Satan, we're talking about, what is Satan up to? Satan planned to maintain control of the world's wealth. Most of the wealth in this world are in the hands of people who are not serving God, most of it. Now, there are Christians that are prosperous, Christians that are millionaires, Christians that are billionaires, but most of the world's wealth is in the hands of people who do not have a God consciousness, who do not have a kingdom of God consciousness, who are not supporting Christian endeavors and agendas. In fact, many of these people are totally against anything that's Christian. Now, the Bible says in Luke 4:6, Good News Translation, this is the wilderness temptation. There were three recorded temptations that Jesus experienced. One was to turn stone into bread. Another was to cast himself off the temple and the angels would catch. And then this third temptation that we're looking at, Satan took Jesus up into a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory or the wealth of those kingdoms. And he said, now listen, I'll give it to you if you fall down and bow to me. Now watch this. In Luke 4:6, Good News Translation, Satan says to Jesus, I will give you all this power and all this wealth, the devil told Jesus. It has been handed over to me, and I can give it to anyone I choose. Now, many people don't know this, and even some ungodly people don't know this. Some do, but some don't. Satan was not controlling the wealth of the earth. God gave man, Adam, dominion over the earth, the wealth, the gold, everything he put in there, he gave Adam. And he gave Adam a mandate to create good, multiply it, fill the earth with good. That's why God did not want Adam to eat from that tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil, because man only knew good. So Satan, when he disobeyed God, he handed the earth and the authority to run the earth and the wealth in the earth to Satan. That's why Satan says in Luke 4:6, I will give you all this power, talking to Jesus, and all this wealth. It has been handed over to me. So who handed it over to him? Adam. And he says, whoever I want to give it to, I can give it to whoever I choose. So Satan really is the illegal possessor of the wealth in the earth. Illegal. I say illegal because God is the owner. Remember, God says the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. But Satan is the illegitimate possessor of the wealth of the world. God gave the wealth to Adam to possess and steward. But God never relinquished ownership. It belongs to God. So Satan now, even though many people don't even know that they're being used by Satan, he channels wealth into the hands of people who are anti-God. Many people, many of the people that are wealthy, and really, I'm not against wealth. Trust me, listen to everything I'm saying. You'll see I'm not against wealth. But many people who have wealth don't know that Satan gave it to them, that Satan knew that they were anti-God. You show me a person that's anti-God, I'll show you a person that Satan is trying to get wealth to, because they bow down to Satan, even though they may not know it. Some do know it, but even though they may not know it, they bow down to Satan, and Satan say, yes, well, I'm going to get wealth into your hands because you're anti-God. You're anti-God. Now, we know the truth of the matter is that Jesus came and restored, defeated Satan and restored the authority back into the hands of a kingdom person, a believer, a Christian. Legally, Satan does not have an authority anymore, but he's been controlling the wealth of the world, and he wants to maintain control. So he tries to dispense the wealth in the hands of people who can operate under that perverted kingdom mandate. People, I want you to have wealth. If you're going to increase evil in the world, Satan says, I want you to have wealth. Because they're tools. They don't know they're tools, but they're tools to fill the earth with evil. So that's the second thing. Satan's plan is to maintain the control of the wealth in the world. Now, the third thing, is Satan's plan is to rob believers of the faith to walk in their covenant blessings through ignorance and controversy. I want to say that again. We're talking about what is Satan up to. Number one, he wants to pervert the kingdom of God dominion mandate. Number two, he wants to maintain control of the wealth in the world. That's why he doesn't want believers to have wealth. He puts pressure on Christians to have lack. He wants them to be in lack because he wants to keep channeling the hands, the wealth in the hands of people who are anti-God. The third thing, now I want you to listen, because we're near closing now. But the third strategy Satan is using is Satan wants to rob believers of the faith. Listen to that. He wants to rob believers of the faith to walk in their covenant blessings through ignorance and controversy. He wants to keep Christians ignorant and rob them of their covenant blessings, and he wants them to be involved in controversy. A lot of controversy. That's of the devil. And you hear preachers talking about it. You hear preachers, they talking about all this wealth, this grab it, blab it. I'm not into that wealth thing. That's of the devil. That's not the gospel. And preachers are doing it. Well, Satan says, great, that's really good. That's really good. I want you to keep talking against prosperity. Just keep talking against it. Keep the controversy going, because it robs people of faith. Proverbs 13:22 in the New American Standard Bible says, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous, because the wealth that the sinner has is not his. It belongs to God. He's a possessor, but he's not an owner. None of us are owners. Even the godly are not owners. God is the owner. He said the silver is mine, the gold is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills is mine. So the sinner's wealth is really just stored up for the righteous. God wants to take that wealth because it's his. He's not stealing. He's not stealing. It's his. That's why God could drive those people out of the promised land, because the promised land was never theirs. They were possessors. They were settlers in a land that did not belong to them. That promised land had been promised to Abraham. That promised land belonged to God. So God could drive people off his property because it was God's. The wealth that sinners have does not belong to them. They're not owners. The Bible says it's stored up for the righteous. 1 Corinthians 3:21-22 in the New Living Translation says, so don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or the present or the future, everything belongs to you. He says it belongs to the Christian. He said everything belongs to you. So they were arguing about human leaders. Some people were saying in that day, listen, I'm following Paul. He's my leader. Others will say, I follow Peter because I like Peter. I'm on Peter's team. And then others were saying, I like Apollos. And see, people still argue about preachers and try to compare preachers when all of us belong to y'all. Everybody belongs to y'all. In other words, all these gifts are designed to minister to everybody, designed to minister to the church, designed. So we belong to all of you. You don't have to compare ministers because everybody belongs to you. They belongs to you. Now watch this. He also says the world belongs to you. The world. The Greek word for world is cosmo. It's translated world in the verse, in verse 22, to mean the aggregate of material things, endowments, riches, and advantages. Now, when you read the New Testament, it was originally written in the Greek language. We're reading from our English Bible, and it says the world belongs to you. That word world is the Greek word cosmos. And in this particular context, it's translated in verse 22 and means the aggregate of material things, endowments, riches, and advantages. He said, it's all yours. Now, we see that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. We see that the world belongs to us. Even that material side, God says, it belongs to you. So, faith, Romans 10:17 in the New King James verse. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Message translation of Romans 10:17, I just read the New King James version, says the point is before you trust, you have to listen. Before you trust, you have to listen. So watch this. The controversy around financial and material prosperity is designed to keep you from listening, because if you don't want to hear it, you can't have faith for it. Think about it. If you don't hear about healing, God wants you well, you can't have faith for it. If you don't hear about holiness, God wants you to live holy, you can't have faith for it. If you don't hear about giving, then you won't have faith. Faith comes by hearing. And the Message Bible says, before you trust, you have to listen. You can't trust God for something you won't listen to. And the controversy, Satan wants a lot of controversy, so you won't even listen. The moment you hear prosperity, some Christian hear prosperity, I want to listen to that. I don't want to listen to that. Well, you can't trust. That's a game. It's a game. It's a strategy. Satan doesn't want you to listen to it. Because think about it. If you listen to it, you can still reject it. You can still say, well, I want that. Some of you, you won't even listen to anything that has to do with prosperity. So you can't have faith. You can't trust because you won't listen. And that's the strategy of the enemy to cut you off from the resources, because Satan knows you can't have faith from what you don't hear. And if you're not listening, you won't hear anything. So keep the controversy going. Keep the controversy going. We're talking about lacking nothing. We have four lessons on this. We're going to transition and talk about some other things, but we have four lessons on this. To renew your mind, because the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A renewal is an exchange that leads to change. I change my thoughts, worldly thoughts, for the way that God thinks, and then I can prove or demonstrate the perfect, acceptable will of God for my life. Listen, I'm out of time. But I want you to do something. I want you to go back and I want you to listen to all four episodes, all four lessons. You can go to MikeMoore.com. You can download my app, get it there. You can go to YouTube and listen to these lessons. I want you to listen to the Word of God, and something spectacular, something supernatural is happening in your life. I release increase to you. I break the power of lack and scarcity and want over your life. I release increase to you in Jesus' name. Well, we finished this series and we'll do something else in our next series. I love you and I pray that you have a great week and you walk in the fullness of what God has planned for your life.